ever-blowing bubbles, pretty bubbles in the air.
They fly so high, nearly reach the sky, then like my dreams they fade and die.
You know, they sell more than 200 million bottles of bubbles.
I did not know that. Yes. A year. This 200 is, million.
Well, every kid of any age loves blowing bubbles. And that's why it has received the honor as a Hall of Fame toy. And to talk about that is Chris Bench, VP for Collections and Chief Curator for the National Toy Hall of Fame. He joins us to talk about the inductions recently announced. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
So Craig needed to know, as with any of the toys in the Hall of Fame, you have a display. What is your bubble display? He wanted to know if you're actually able to put a bubble in your bubble display.
Unfortunately not. We have to rely some on our visitors' imaginations for that. But we have some great vintage bottles of bubbles. They've been sold in that form since the 1930s. And we also have photos of people having great times blowing bubbles, from kids in the backyard to graduates leaving college and celebrating with bubbles.
And they use those sometimes at weddings too, instead of the rice or something. I've been to those where you blow bubbles as the bride and groom exit the church.
Right, those bottles that are on your table at the reception with the bride and groom's name on it, it's a great addition to the wedding tradition.
Yes. What about the guy who decided to make the thing that fits in the bubble just so enough that if you drop it in there, it'll take you an extra 10 minutes trying to fish it out? That's my only...
Those wands are never quite long enough for you to reach. You've got to get down into the suds.
Chris, you're based in Rochester, New York. What else went into the National Toy Hall of Fame this year?
The other two lucky inductees are Little Green Army Men and Rubik's Cube.
I forgot, Bruce. I admit it. I remembered last night, and then I forgot to bring in my little batch of...
Craig was telling me he was going to bring in the Little Green Army Men. Which...
Right, from Toy Story. Now, Chris, would those be part of that, or are we talking about Little Green Army Men maybe from, you know, way back when?
It's all Little Green Army Men, but
good.
I think those soldiers from Toy Story are the ones that really refresh so many people's memory, and just picturing them rappelling down strings and waddling along on their plastic bases in those movies always makes me smile.
Yes. Now, I was thinking about this morning, my favorite of the Little Green Army Men. I actually had two of them. One was the guy with the bazooka, the kneeling guy with the bazooka, because obviously he had the coolest weapon of any of the Little Green Army Men. But I also liked the guy that didn't have that plastic base. There was one guy who was crawling with his arm, you know, the rifle in his one arm, and he was crawling. He was the guy that actually could, you know, didn't really look like the other guys because he wasn't left with this crazy stand that he had.
I remember him as well, and I am delighted that we have Little Green Army Men that have been modified and customized by a U.S. Army major when he was in the Middle East. He adapted the standard Little Green Army Men to reflect what is going on in the real Army today. So his Little Green Army Men are holding iPads and iPhones made out of mess hall plastic silverware so that they really represent the way the world works today.
The Little Green Army Men, though, as looking at your site as well, it kind of looks at the history sort of Army Men. We used to have those metal toy soldiers, and this was, I guess, maybe in the age of plastics, what they were able to create and mass produce then.
That's right. And what made the Little Green Army Men and continues to make them great is they're so cheap. You can get them by the bin, the box, the tub, the bag, and so they're expendable. If you're having a pitched battle in the backyard with your best friend and you lose a few of your battalion, it's not the end of the world. Or if you decide to do a science experiment with a ray of sunshine and a magnifying glass on a Little Green Army Man, it again is not the end of the world.
Right. Or if you chew on them like I did back in the day, but that's another story for another day. Now, Chris, on the kind of, for me, on the frustrating side, the Little Green Army Men, a lot of fun. The Rubik's Cube, I just couldn't do it, and I gave up. But that's in there this year.
It is. It's the 40th anniversary of Rubik's Cube being invented, and I am entirely with you. I have one in my office, and I carefully have not twisted it, because if I do, it will never, ever get back to its original solid color on each side.
And also, in a sense, it's one of those that it has a different, you almost have to be smart to play with that toy. It kind of has an accomplishment to it that the other ones, there's no imagination in your Rubik's Cube, at least as far as I can tell.
No, and in fact, that's one of the reasons that so many toy companies turned down the concept. It has 43 quintillion wrong answers and only one right answer, and they thought that nobody would find that entertaining. I agree. I find it more frustrating than rewarding, but millions of people, hundreds of millions of people, more than 350 million Rubik's Cubes have sold over the years, and it is still the fastest-selling toy ever. They sold more than 100 million copies within the first year that it was on the market in 1980-81.
Now, I see in your notes, is it really possible for someone to do the Rubik's Cube with their feet?
You know, the wonders of YouTube is that you can find people doing all sorts of sensible and not so sensible things. And yes, you can do it with your feet. You can do it underwater in one breath. I would be floating on top of the pool long before I ever solved the Rubik's Cube if I tried that trick.
Well, they did have someone solve it underwater, so there's an opportunity to do you know, all sorts of things. And then there's the way of cheating, where you can just peel off the labels, apparently. And by the way, what is inside a Rubik's? Have you got one that's deconstructed? What makes it work? How does that thing stay together?
It is a sort of spherical center mechanism. So it looks like there should be 27 cubes composing it in three layers. But at the center is this spherical armature that links the other cubes, and so they are rotating around that globe on little arms, and that's what lets you twist it in all three directions without the whole thing flying into bits.
Chris, you've got 56 toys now in the Hall of Fame. How does a toy get in? How is it judged? Who does the judging?
All of your listeners can nominate a toy for the Hall of Fame, and people have already started nominating for the 2015 induction, so they can go to our website, museumofplay.org, and tell us what we have sadly left out of the National Toy Hall of Fame. We get thousands of nominations every year. Last year, it was more than 5,000 nominations for 434 different toys. And I'm part of an internal team here at the museum. We sift those down and make sure that we find the 12 that best meet our criteria, which are longevity, recognizability, and the ability to encourage learning, creativity, and discovery through play. So we sift those down. The 12 that we best judge meet those criteria go off to a national selection committee, and they're the ones who make the final votes.
For people who would like to come to the museum in Rochester, New York, is there a hands-on opportunity?
The entire museum is hands-on. A museum of play here at the Strong Museum, we couldn't do it without letting people actually play. So there's Lego to build with, there's hula hoops to try out, there's a Barbie mansion, you name it, whatever your age, you're going to find something fun to do, and we fill an entire city block.
Now, I'm looking over your list, and I know that we have winter weather around there. With the snow, is there winter toys that are ever considered, like a sled have a possibility, or your saucer?
You know, the flexible flyer sled was one of the 12 finalists a number of years ago, but in a north-south divide, our national selection committee people who were south of the Mason-Dixon line didn't have such fond memories or feel that sleds were as important as the folks in the snowier part of the U.S. But I currently have a selection committee member who is lobbying hard for Snowball as an inductee to the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Snowball.
Well, come on. You know, the stick is in there. I'm
I know. My favorite, the stick.
Cardboard box made it. This is, you
blanket.
Know,
blanket is in there.
Oh, these are excellent things. And then, of course,
snowball.
Once you decide on the toy, who gets to be the one that gets to make the fun display or decide what makes it sort of that moment where everyone sees it and kind of has that same sort of reaction as to the toy?
Our curators put things on display. Our media team plans out our public event so that we had life-size Little Green Army Men dressed all from head to toe with plastic bases under them waddle out as part of our induction ceremony. And we try to make it as big a deal as possible, both for the induction moment and for all year long for the more than 500,000 people who visit the museum every year.
And one thing about these toys, and we come sometimes find, we never know who created them. We know you got the information about Erno Rubik, who did his name on Rubik's Cube. Many of these guys go unnoticed until they pass. We recently had the gentleman, or he didn't die, but he's obviously searching for an operation, the gentleman who created Operation. We have so many of those things like that. Are those people kind of recognized at all within your Toy Hall of Fame as far as a little bit of the description or history of it?
They are now, and they will be even more a year from now. That is a great question. There's something called the Toy Industry Hall of Fame that recognizes the people from the toy world in the same way that we recognize the great toys and games from the toy world. And both of those types of halls of fame are going to be celebrated in a new $4 million gallery that we are opening next September. So it is going to help celebrate some of those unknown and also celebrated people and these classic toys together.
Because we always wonder, where is the new classic toy coming from? Is there an age length of time? You know, in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, they say 25 years. Baseball Hall of Fame, what is it, like 5 years after, or, you know, after retirement or something. Is there kind of a time frame you look for, or what's the story with that?
The one time frame we're mindful of is we want toys that have been on the market long enough that both kids and their parents could have grown up playing with them. So those one-year fad toys that everybody has to have for a moment and then forgets about, they don't really stand a chance with the Hall of Fame. So in numerical terms, it probably needs to be a toy that has been continuously marketed for at least 20 years.
And have your doors been knocked down by the little people? Are they still trying to get in?
They are. Right now, they are the Susan Lucci of the toy world. They have been overlooked 5 times for the National Toy Hall of Fame. They've been a finalist. Just as Susan Lucci finally got her Emmy Award for daytime TV, I hope that pretty soon the Fisher-Price little people will elbow their way in our door.
Right. Well, they'll have a lot of fun if they get in because they can ride the Tonka truck or the Hot Wheels. I mean, they're versatile enough to have a lot of fun with all your toys in the museum. Again, our guest today, Chris Bench, VP of Collections and Curator for the National Toy Hall of Fame. Again, if people want to find out more about the Hall of Fame and what you do there, The Strong, what's a good place for them to check out?
They can go to museumofplay.org and find out so much about what we have for a visit or that you can explore right from your device at home.
By the way, does the Little Green Army Man with the parachute, was he part of the gang or is he a sole separate guy? You know.
Oh, the one with the parachute that you fold up and throw him up in the air and come down.
Stuck in the tree.
I think he's separate. You need to make a nomination
him. I will be getting right on that again. He has to join his buddies. He can't be left out. He was all important as well. But, Chris, thanks for sharing the time. Appreciate it this morning.
Anytime, guys.
Hey, thanks very much. Chris Bench with the National Toy Hall of Fame.